was so refreshing in a healing way. It was I was, and that's where I was, again, the same thing you said about whether it's centered or our, knowing our deity, like our oneness in Him. I told you last week, I said two of the most important words we're grasping is this issue of being in Him, in Christ. And so I was just kind of like hanging on that this week. And just, you know, like when Paul, when he wrote the book of Romans, I think, and maybe I've told you before, it's like his opus. It was like the letter he wrote at the end of his life, after all the ministry he had gone through, all the different, you know, cities and countries he had visited, he writes the book of Romans. And in it, if you listen to it with Paul's heart, it's like he has one message, being in Christ. Literally, he does. I find it fascinating that religious communities will use the book of Romans to beat people up. Because it looks like if you don't do this, then this. And it's totally, you're missing the whole context of Paul's life, right? Because he had this, in fact, the reason he wrote the opus, it's like the most important revelation that existed. It drove him. It's like why Paul is Paul, right? You know his story,
right?
Right. The Damascus encounter, right? On the road to Damascus, when Jesus shows up, Holy Spirit shows up, and says, "Really, what are you doing?" Really, that's kind of what he says. It's like he says, "Why are you persecuting the church?" Right? Because he's a super smart guy. He's trained in everything. And he's the master of the list of the rules. All of which misses Jesus. All of which misses the understanding of who we are in Him. Right? Mm-hmm. So Paul has that encounter on the road. And, you know, he's blind. It says he, for 3 days, he didn't eat or drink. And he's so rocked by it. So it's like that event was so eclipsing to everything. It's like in a moment, yes, he matured, but in a moment he knew it wasn't about the list. In a moment he knew it wasn't. And so when he writes Romans, it's like he's making sure you know that there's nothing about this relationship with Him is about the list. It never has been. And we hesitate and we pause and we go, yeah, but what about? And Paul says, no, nothing. That's when he talks about, hey, even a little leaven. He says, don't put the rules back on the table that make it look like you can add to anything what God did. Right? Because this revelation was all about our connection with Him. That that Jesus came to show you who you are in Him. So we... And that we absolutely, totally identify with Christ because of His life, because of His death, because of His resurrection, right? We're one. It's like that is the revelation. We are connected in Him. In fact, he says, Paul's saying, look, whatever happened in the garden, whatever the consequence of sin was over the generations and people, you know, people upon people upon people eclipsed in the moment of what Jesus did. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's like, in the grand scale, pile all the sin on the list. Pile everything on it, from the garden to today. Everything, Jesus, in a moment, like he eclipsed it. That revelation of, like, you know what the revelation was? Your righteousness.
Yeah.
Your righteousness. That we forever, I'll deviate a bit. Forever, the thought of righteousness was doing the rules well.
Right.
Right? There's the word righteousness, I won't get it, I won't say it right, but it's like diakosune, dikesune. And it's like this statement about divine acceptance, approval. Right? Now, we took it to think, oh, that means I need to perform for the acceptance. Right? Interesting, right? Because at the root word of this, the word righteousness is this word, the root word, DK. I think it's pronounced decay. Decay. It sounds like decay. It's not, though. Decay. And the implication is this. It's two people facing each other. Okay? And they find their likeness in each other. When they look at each other, there's nothing obstructing the view. There's nothing that says, oh, yes, but you're different. Or this has caused you to look different than me. And we would put in things like shame, obstructions like shame and guilt and fear, right? Decay, right? The word, it's like, look, when the two parties face each other, there's nothing between them. Okay, got it? So there's perfect flow. Right? Perfect flow between them. It's the word we use, by the way. In fact, there's a god decay in the Greek gods that has to do with justice. So think about it just for a second. The issue of justice is, hey, there's between us, accounts have been settled. Got it? Right? So decay, the issue of Paul's revelation of righteousness is, hey, he accepts you. There's nothing between you, right? There's no obstructions. There's nothing that would say that the accounts are unsettled. I just think that is the most fascinating thought, right? That's what Paul's, so when Paul's writing Romans, he's saying, this is the revelation I have, right? He says this in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, okay, he says, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that I preach is not man's gospel. Because man's saying the list, right? Okay. It's not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ, his encounter on the road. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I prosecuted the Church of God violently, and I tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father, the list keeper. But God separated me from my mother's womb, and he identified through me this revelation of his grace. What's the revelation of his grace? The righteousness. Right? That's what Paul's saying. And it pleased him, it pleased the Father, to reveal his Son in me, in order that I might preach him in the Gentiles, to the Gentiles. Here's what's fun. He says, I deliberately didn't consult with anybody. Look, so remember Paul, he's after the apostles. I find what's interesting is you would have thought he would have run, right? There's the Jewish church, there's the religious people that are, right? List, and then there's this community of new believers that have this revelation of Christ in him. Paul's on the road, boom, all of a sudden, in a moment, it's like, oh, it's true. This is what's true. You would have thought he would have like, where are those people, the apostles, tell me about it, right? But he didn't do that. The encounter was so powerful. This revelation of his inclusion in him, this revelation of Father's grace was so powerful. He goes into write in many of his letters, if you read many of the letters he writes to the churches, he says things like this, from now on, therefore, I can no longer know any man from a human point of view. What's he saying? He said this to the Corinthians. He said, because the way we were taught to understand people and value them and judge them was the list. And Paul says, I can't do that anymore. Because all of a sudden he has this revelation of that we're in his image, we're connected to him. There's nothing between us. We have perfect flow, righteousness. And Paul says, how can I look at anybody else different? Every one of them is like that before Father. He says this in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Remember that statement? Nor slave nor free man. Nor African, Chinese, European, whatever, Republican, Democrat, fill in your list. He says, neither male nor female. What's he saying? The same thing. He says, look, I don't identify them by a characteristic, a trait, an activity anymore. It's like, I see them perfectly. It's like the thing that distinguishes people, right, is this revelation of their original identity. Right? Jesus says, because of Jesus, I've restored it, I've redeemed it, I've revealed it. Right? So Paul is like, look, everything, all you have to do is look at Jesus. Right? Jesus was the perfect revelation of the Father. Jesus was the perfect revelation of who you are in him. It's like he totally 100% accurately displayed this revelation that I'm in him and he's in me, right? In fact, when Paul talks about Jesus, he says, it's in him, in Jesus, that God gives a full and complete expression of himself. He said that in Colossians. In fact, he goes and says, moreover, your own completeness is realized in him. Mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, Paul, you get it, right? It's like all of a sudden Paul starts, you're like, that's all I want, right? In fact, when he goes to Athens, he's talking to, think of him as the professors, the philosophers, the university lecturers, right? Go to your local campus. These are the guys that are so smart. Mm. They don't need your religion. They don't need your spiritual talk. They're so smart. When he goes and meets with them, remember it's in Acts when he says he has this encounter with the professors? Mm-hmm. And he says, the revelation is this. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. He says, look, it's all about the decay. It's all about righteousness. It's all about finding yourself in him. In fact, it says that the philosophers were like, in the picture I have is, like, wow, like, he gets it. And he says that our when we see our likeness in him, when you start to wake up to the revelation of that he's in me, it's like that's when you have real transformation. Right? So in Corinthians he said this. He says, but we all, with unveiled face, are beholding as if in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What's Paul saying? Face to face, without nothing between you, righteousness. Paul says, the glory to glory is, we're waking up to that revelation. Mm. It's like it's completing itself in us. Do you know, in all of Paul's... So, are you familiar with many or not? I'll give you a quickie on the Bible. So, in the New Testament, we'll talk Old Testament. There's 27 books in the New Testament. Okay, Paul wrote half of them. Okay, Paul wrote half those books in the New Testament. Do you know that in all his books that he wrote, he doesn't talk about the miracles of Jesus? Mm. Right? Interesting thought. Doesn't talk about the miracles of Jesus. In fact, Jesus shared many parables for us to get that revelation. He doesn't talk about the parables of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? So, you've heard of some people talk about the Gospels in the Bible, right? So, there are, if you open up the New Testament, the Gospels, typically we call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? What are they doing? They're the books that are sharing those stories of the miracles of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, the story and life of Jesus. In fact, do you know that, have you ever read your Bible and gone, I read that. Did it happen again, or is that the same story?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you know that the first three books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels, which means it would be like they all were reporters at the same event, but I'm from Iowa, and I went to the convention, and I wrote my story about the convention because I know what Iowans want to hear. They're farmers, so I have the perspective of the farmers.
Right.
So I write the story of the convention to the farmers. If I was from Wall Street and I'm at the convention, I'm going to write the story that the Wall Streeters understand, business and economics, right? That's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke are about.
Mm-hmm.
One's writing from a Jewish perspective. One's writing from kind of like a Gentile perspective. One's writing about the oppressed, like the hurting women and hurting the people that are less, that have been thrown away in society. Interesting, isn't it? But they're all sharing this story about Jesus. Paul doesn't talk about that, right? So And so when Paul writes all these other letters, he's writing to these churches. Oh, let me write to Danny's church. Oh, let me write to Adam's church, right? He's like these letters, and his whole thing is like, if I could just share with you this revelation of him in us, right? And what he thinks of you, what Father thinks of you, and how great his love is, and this understanding of righteousness, and it's not about the list, it's not about these rules. And it's not about, you know, performing and achieving for him to accept you. You're accepted. So he writes all these letters. So the thing about what Paul's writing, it's like, it's not Christ revealed in history. It's Christ revealed in us.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of his letters. It's like, wow, when you grasp it, you start to realize the Bible is such a fantastic story, right? It's all aimed at you getting this understanding of, he's in me. And we end up trying to, like, debate that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the biggest thing that the enemy comes to obstruct is that revelation?
That he's in me.
Right? His whole thing about stealing, killing, and destroying, everything about that is about getting you to be disrupted, obstructed from the revelation of he's in me. The encounter Paul had on the Damascus Road, that bam, it's not this kingdom, it's this, right? That's our journey, right? So, you know that many times, and I won't teach it now, but, you know, the thing about the enemy, we've said it plenty of times, the devil has no authority, right? The devil has no authority. None, except what you give him, right? He's not powerful, and we could go. I could go through all. Here, give me my Bible.
Which one?
One under your foot.
Oh, thanks. Here, I'm watching my dad a little bit. I shall get my. It's easier. I'll take less time. I use my Bible app.
Mm-hmm.
This will be fun. We give the devil far too much credit. Okay. And because when you have the revelation like Paul had, all of a sudden you realize he's not just a jerk, he has no authority. He can't do anything. Right? Here, he says this. He's made us alive together with him. He's forgiven all our trespasses. He's forgiven all your trespasses. Colossians 2, right? Paul, writing his revelation to these churches. Okay? He's forgiven all your trespasses. So all the things that are obstructing that face-to-face. Okay? He wiped them out. He wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us.
Mm-hmm.
The list that says there's a consequence to what is between you. He says he's wiped out the handwriting of all of that, which was contrary to us. That doesn't define me. And he's taken it out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. Verse 14, Colossians 2:14. And he disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He took all those things that you thought were between you, all the lies that said there was a disruption or an obstruction between you, qualifying you to be accepted by him. Boom. That is gone. In fact, it's so far gone, you're trying to pick it back up. It says he nailed it down when he went to the cross. He like, don't pick that lie back up again, right? That you are perfectly qualified with me. The word was righteousness, okay? The word was righteousness. And he says that his sole aim, the devil's sole aim, was for you to be ignorant of that. That's it. The devil's game plan is that you would be ignorant of that truth. Mm-hmm. Religion's one of the biggest tormentors of that truth, by the way. That's what Paul is sharing. Knock it off. Right? Religion tries to pick up little nuggets and will use language like, oh, but this is what love looks like. Right? Sometimes it's tough love. Right? So pick up the rules again. We love them so much, we got to let them know that God hates that, God's disgusted by that, God's going to judge you by that, right? And the whole thing we're doing is we're taking them away from this revelation of seeing him in them and vice versa. Mm. All the devil's trying to do is, if you're face-to-face with him, here's your encounter, pile a bunch of junk up in there so I can't see him. Or worse yet, I do this. Mm. Or I move back further. I believe it's true, but somewhere it got way out there. Right? Right? We're included in him. Paul says, because here are the debaters now. What qualifies you to be included in him? Paul makes it real simple. All his letters, God. God qualified me. He says he, Jesus, took everything. He took everything out of the way. Anything I chose to put back up and get in the way, he reminds me, that's not true about this. That's not true. That's a lie. Right? All those things that get picked up and put in the way, that's called sin. That's another way we can talk about it. Sin is the lie of that you're not face to face with him, guiltless, without, right? Between. We pick it back up. We empower it. We believe a lie and we put it in between us. That's when he says, hey, you're not going to have life. We can think about life, the fullness of life being you guys doing this, right? Face to face and doing this is what life looks like. Sin is, there's something in the way. God says, I took care of it, nailed it to the cross. Nailed it, right? You keep picking it up. You're believing these things. You're enabling these things. You're empowering these things. You're agreeing with the lies, right? I'll close with this. The next in the next chapter of Colossians, right? In chapter 3, right? He says, if then you were raised with Christ, right? you partnered in his life. The Bible says you partnered in his life, you were in his death, you were in his resurrection, right? If then you were raised with him, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. It's just that we talked about mindsets. We do that a lot, right? There's this mindset, and there's this mindset, his kingdom mindset. This one is separate, disconnected. This one is face-to-face. So when he says that, he says, set your mind on that. Set your mind on those things, not on these things. Okay? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Can I just read the last sentence you said is, your union with his death broke the association with the world. see yourselves located in a fortress where your life is hidden with Christ in God. Ooh, I gotta get one of these.
Isn't that awesome?
The language is really powerful.
Isn't that awesome?
Become affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts. This will keep you from being distracted by the earthly. Yeah. Wow.
Paul's opus, right? Romans 12, when he says, be transformed, is I'm just going to live in throne room thinking. That's where and it's like, but it's not true. I'm not doing this. And what you've been learning in your victorious living, right? The Wendy Backlund stuff. It's like, look, we say what's true. We be right. We're going to say it. We're going to activate it. We're going to declare it. We're going to release it. Right. This is what's true. Right. We're just releasing throne room thought, kingdom living. I think I'll pause there as a good breaking point because I want to pick up on this thought of like where Paul's revelation. He had this like wow moment. Gets it. And the thought that he didn't go off to the apostles and go, tell me more. He's like, he actually is like so captivated by this encounter and so aware of this revelation, he realizes he's got something that's different than all of them. In fact, this thing, they kind of had their feet in both camps a little bit. Yes, all they know is their Jewish religion. Then there's Jesus, and they're struggling with, how do I break out of this? Paul didn't. Paul's break was like this, which is fascinating. I want to talk about that next week. Because, you know, remember that one in Matthew where Jesus says this to Peter? Who do you say I am? Remember that? Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? The question is one of like this. Jesus didn't say it, but he's like, are you thinking like Paul, or are you thinking like where you came from? Okay, so with that, I'll stop, and we'll go into that next week. Because this revelation of Paul's, and it's like, when you start to understand the New Testament and see how it's written, you realize, wow, all those letters he wrote, that's all he's talking about. That's all he ever talks about. And it's like, that is the gospel. There's Jesus in history, which nails, it's like, debate's over, and Paul's like, okay, that's our launching pad. Like, Paul's like, wait a second, why would I go back and try to debate this activity? This is our, right? He said go. He already hit the launch button. He's sending you into orbit, and Paul wants to talk about, man, our this journey into the wild frontier, right? Space. Mm. Right? And we're back here going, well, was that really a good launch? It's like, you're launched!
That's the thing.
Right? Anyway. So let's talk about space, the final frontier next week.
There you go.
Okay? So, Father, thanks! That was fun! I really loved worship this morning. That was just awesome.
It was.
Oh, that was awesome. Just feel love, don't you?
You know, it's interesting that you can feel empty and full at the same time. I felt that this morning. Where there was just an emptying of everything on the outside, but this fullness of Christ this morning, just that sweetness of his presence, just filling every molecule. And it was just, it was great. I loved it. I would like to live there.
It's funny you know what's interesting is how quickly we pick up this thing of, well, yeah, but, you know, all this bad stuff that's happening. And, you know, we have a friend who talks like that. It's like Eeyore.
Yeah.
And it's like, and there's such an Eeyore. You know what I mean when I say that? Eeyore? Like Winnie the Pooh? The donkey? My house is going to blow over. It's like you could never enjoy the moment, right? It's like you're such an Eeyore that you miss the encounter.
Yeah, it's having your mind on the things of all of.
It's like I can come in empty, and I can. It's like, wow, do I step into this and enjoy fullness? And realize he took the empty away, or do I partner with the empty? So, We're not, you're not, none of you are Eeyores.
Yeah.
None of you are Eeyores. You're all Tiggers.
Okay.
You are all, I declare you are Tiggers.
Yay!
What's that?
Luke might be Pig.
He might be Pig. Oh,
Piglet.
Piglet.